How about now? All right. Sorry, guys. And I should know better. I ran sound for... Oh, but yeah, this has been a journey for me, and it's been a journey over some years. And I'm going to speak about that at the end. And one of my great friends, Jack, is here, and he was on this journey with me, where we were truly seeking God and trying to figure out and how to hear God. And the youth can testify that that's what I talked to them about, and just being able to hear God. So I've got so many things to say. First of all, thank you for electing me an elder. It's an honor, it's a privilege to serve this church. And I haven't had a chance to thank you all. I haven't had a chance to preach because this is the first time in front of the big congregation. I preach to these guys all the time. And that's why I come humbled to be able to bring God's word to you. So, first of all, let's pray. Let's go to the one who gives us what we need. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this congregation. Lord, I've been praying for them all week, Lord, and I thank you for the blessings that you brought to them. And Lord, you're just an amazing God that we just need to seek you. We need to seek the one who gives us everything. Thank you, Lord. And I pray these prayers in Jesus' name. So, I may get a little passionate today because I'm passionate about prayer. I mean, I love God's word, but I love being in his presence when I can spend time with him. And I think about Adam. And in the cool of the morning, as they walked together in the garden and they were spending time together, and it's like, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. And is that where you want to be, church? Do you want to spend the time with the one that created everything? This is, he holds our every breath in his hand. And this is the guy that we're coming to. And it just... And I guess I have some questions. What's God saying to you? I don't really want answers from you from the congregation, but what is God saying to you? You know, he gave me a revelation that, you know, I kept coming to him and saying, Lord, what is your path for me? What is the direction that you want me to go? And you know what he finally taught me? Because I wasn't listening. He said, just be obedient. Be obedient to me and I'll take you. Each day I'll take you where I want you to be. And I was like, wow. That's from him. I just want to know, do you take the time to hear from God? We've been on a 40-day thing where we're supposed to be looking to God to what the direction of this church is. And we truly want to know what God's saying to you. But that's not for today. But we want to know. We want to know as an elder board, we want to know as leadership of this church, what's God saying to you? Are you taking the time in your busy life? Because God, I know I'm busy. I mean, I love my wife, but the woman can schedule stuff unbelievably. But But it's about taking the time. Excuse me. Oh, it's about taking the time to spend with Him. So now I can get started. I was totally speaking from my heart there. But I'm here to tell you, God speaks. Some people don't believe that He speaks, but He may not come in a thundering voice, but He speaks. He's that small voice that we don't listen to all the time because we get too busy, because we're running at a fever pace. This Northern Virginia area runs at a pace no other. I almost wanted to... Melissa and I looked to move somewhere else because it was so busy here. But we didn't. God didn't have that in our plan. So we're here, and I'm speaking to you guys today. So I ask you, what is the definition of prayer? It's a solemn request for help, an expression of thanks. Thanks addressed to God or your object of worship. You can tell this is a secular dictionary. So what is it to you, though? Why do we pray? Why do we come to God, to look to God? Why? We have needs, we have desires, we have sickness, we need guidance, we need strength. There's days that I go, God, what do you really got for me today? And He's happy. I don't have anything for you today. It's like, okay, I'll rest in you. When do we pray? When we need something, we need that strength, we need that guidance. In Matthew 11, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me." How is it to lean on Him? This is the guy that created it all. He holds our every breath. How do we feel when we come to Him? When we pray, I've been searching for this for a long time, and everybody's different. I wanted to play a video from War Room, and where Priscilla Schreier is sitting there in the closet, and because the older lady told her, I need to get out from behind that. The older lady told her, says, "You need to have a war room. You need to have a closet that you can go to." I'm not sure about that. I don't need that. But some people do. They need to be so focused where this doesn't distract you, where the laundry that's sitting over there doesn't distract you, and you can go into the presence of God and spend it. But what I loved about the scene was she's eating potato chips. Her daughter walked by, I think, and she's eating potato chips, and she's just sitting there, and she didn't have a clue. But later on, she prayed with power. She was praying for her marriage, and she was praying for people. And that's where we need to be. And I'm gonna camp out in one of the scriptures in a minute about love. And just because Where is the love? Where is the love of Jesus? Where is it pouring out of us? But let me go back. I've got so many things in my head. I'm trying to follow my outline here. Are we coming to God like a vending machine? Is that our God? A6. I want the M&Ms. Are we coming to him like the slot machine? Well, whatever your will is, God. Oh, look, 4 bars. I must be good. Or are we coming to him as a spare tire, like Nick said last week? Are we coming to him only when we need something, but instead spending time with the one that loves us? I got to close in prayer a couple of weeks ago, and what God had been showing me is, I love you the same no matter what. I am grace. I am it. God loved us when we were sinners. God loves us when we're out doing what he wants us to do. But God loves us always. But we get busy. And I understand it, because I'm certainly not perfect. I mean, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, because I'm still on that journey. And I have some awesome men that have mentored me and helped me to see things. And one of my great friends isn't here today. He calls me his dead body friend. And that means that if he ever has a dead body, I'd be the first to call. And I don't know. I haven't really talked to him deeply about that and not going there. But I love that guy. He and I have been on a journey. I've been on a journey with different men here. But I guess my question is, do we come to God with respect? Do we tremble at his word? Do we come as the person who he is? Sometimes I think we put him in a box. Let's let him out of the box. God's bigger than that. God is so much bigger than that, and he wants to do things. He wants to do things with this church. He wants us to seek him. We need to address him with respect, humbly. Isaiah 66:2 says, "From my hands have made all things. This is all things that come into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who humbles and contrite heart and who trembles at my word." Do we do that, church? Are we seeing the God that's out there, the God that he wants us to know? He wants us to be there. Do we have that loving relationship? Can you hear him? And you go, what do you mean hear? But that small voice inside you, you'll know when you hear. I used to chase after hearing God. I got to slow down, because that's part of another part of this. But I don't know. I just love God so much that he is He's showing me things that I didn't believe. He's brought people into my life that have given me prophecy, and I'm starting to see some of it, and it, you know, standing before you is humbling, because God has a plan. He's not showing it all to me because he's afraid it's going to scare the heck out of me and make me run, but I'm not running. I'm running to him who gives me strength. I've been reading a lot of books lately, and one of them is called The Storm. It's by Jim Cimbala. Jim Cimbala is the pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And Brooklyn Tabernacle believes in prayer because they've seen it work. And the first book I read of his was Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and it was about prayer and the Holy Spirit. But this one, there were a couple of things that really hit me. And they get together for prayer at noon. And I just want to read a short piece of this. And it says, on Tuesday, while kneeling in my usual spot during the noon prayer meeting, I heard a woman's voice to my left. Her head was in her hands, and she was praying softly. But something about the way she was praying caught my attention. She was talking to God, like he was standing 4 feet away. Is that where we are? I know that's where I want to be. This morning I was in here at 7:30 and I was praying for this congregation, and I was praying, I told you I was going to cry, I was praying for what God wanted me to say in this message, and it just kept coming back. Do you love me? But it wasn't for me. That was for you guys. Do you love me? When we're young or old, when you're first in love, that new love, you do things that you wouldn't probably do because your wife says something like, hey, would you get that? And it's like 2 feet away, and you're like, well, you're sitting over there. But the thing about it is, I was looking at when Melissa and I first got married, or before we got married, sorry, she went to University of Maryland, and I lived in Gaithersburg. I'd work all day, go home and change, and then go to University of Maryland. Get stuck in traffic. I didn't care. I loved her, and I wanted to spend time with her. And I want... Then she came home for the summer, and she was in Fort Washington. They were working on the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. They would close it. I swear they would call and say, hey, Joe's coming. And I'd sit for a half an hour waiting to cross the bridge to go home so I could go to sleep and go to work. But you know what? I loved her, and I wanted to spend time with her. So my question is that the kind of love that you're walking with Jesus with today? Do you want that kind of love? I was reading, and this killed me. So when they finished breakfast, Jesus said, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? More than these, he said. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him again, tend my lamb. And wow, I didn't know we had a train track around here. All right. Then he asked him again, Jesus, and Peter responded. This is the same Peter who denied him. And you know what? He loved him, but he was afraid. He was afraid. He didn't know whether he was going to die or what. But you know what? We have fears too. We have fears of approaching God because we're afraid that maybe he's going to say, I want you to do this. And you go, oh God, I can't do that. But if we're obedient, he's going to take us through it. He's going to walk with us. He's a loving God. What if he was standing here and he said, do you love me? What would that answer be? I just want it to be, yes, Lord, I love you. But then there's times that I don't walk perfectly. I'm not perfect at all. And he slaps me around and I start to come on back. But I just feel that the time with God and prayer is so important. And God showed me where Jesus figured it was important. So I think Joe should think it's important. In Matthew 14:23, after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. And if Jesus felt that way, that he needed to be in the presence of God, we need to feel that way. We need to seek him. Because he does. He's got a plan for every one of you in this church. But you've got to be willing to let go. And Mark says, early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus kind of thinks it's important. I kind of think it's important. If you take nothing away from what I say today, I think it's important. I think you should think it's important. When he was choosing the 12, he went off to the mountain to pray. Before he was crucified, he came out. He was on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were with him. And when they arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Shouldn't that be our prayer every morning? Thank you, God, for this day. Lead me not into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and began to pray. In Hebrews 4, it says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in times of need. And then in Luke 11:1-4, It happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he was finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and for ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. We prayed the Our Father all the time. We prayed the Hail Mary all the time. But you know what? It was rote. It was not talking to God and listening to what it was. It was rote. And when I finally figured out what prayer was, you know how much easier I felt coming to God? It was amazing. So I'm going to take you down a journey that I walked with Jack Mullen. We were on a journey. We wanted to know who the Holy Spirit was. We wanted to know, and Jack reads like a madman. He'll go, "Yeah, I read 3 books. Oh, I'm going to read it again." And it's like, "I haven't got through one." And I love him for it because he brings so much knowledge and stuff to me. It's awesome. But that's not me. But I was reading probably more than I ever did. I started out. I started out with this. Called Crazy Love. It taught me about God's love. It taught me about prayer. It taught me so many things. I love Francis Chan. If you can go to that and on that Saturday, go. Francis Chan is a powerful speaker, and he's amazing. Francis Chan had a huge church. And you know what? God told him, "That's not where I want you." How many pastors would walk away from a 3,000 seat church that's full all the time? "No, God, this is where I'm supposed to be." No, he went seeking God, and he went to India. He was like, "I think God wants me to go to India." You know what? God didn't want him to go to India. But he was showing his obedience. He was showing what he really wanted him to do. And you know what? He started doing street ministry in San Francisco. He was speaking to the homeless. He was speaking to the people doing drugs in San Francisco. And you know what? He probably touched so many lives because of it. I respect him for what he does and what he did, because sometimes I think we get ahead of ourselves and we think we know what God wants and it doesn't fit into our plan. But where is that? You got to be able to hear him. Youth group, what do I preach all the time? What do I say? Listen. Still and hear God. I'm passionate about that because I believe that God has something. So then, after Crazy Love, I read Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. An awesome book. Jim Cimbala. his story is he was a first out pastor, and he went into this little church in New York, and it's now the Brooklyn Tabernacle that everybody knows the choir, everybody knows the church. You know what? His first couple, he said, my messages were so boring that I'd fall asleep during them. The guy has a sense of humor. I love reading him because he's so amazing. But he said in the first couple of weeks, he says, you know what the offering was? It was $89, but his salary was a lot more than that. And he's like, God, how's this thing going to work? But you know what? God provided. God was there. And God was working in that church, and he's built it into a big church that has touched a lot of lives. But you know what? He was humble. He said he was preaching, and they had pews in the church, and the pews over here collapsed. He said, oh, get up, move over there. You know? I mean, he just rolled with the punches, but he was rolling with God. And that's what I want to come to you today, churches, is we need to roll with God, because I feel that he wants to do amazing things in this place. And you know what? Every one of you have got gifts. You've got gifts, you've got passions, you've got desires that God has put in you. And we just need to get a hold of that and be able to take it. You know, there's people that Keith is an evangelist. He'll talk to anybody about Jesus. He's, you know, 30,000 feet up, and he's preaching Jesus. They can't go anywhere. He's got a captive audience, but he spends the couple of days with them, with the people, because they're, you know, on a trip, and they'll go to dinner and everything. But he gets the conversation started in the cockpit. And yeah, there's some people that aren't listening, but you know what? There's more that I've heard from him that have gone, what do you mean about God? What do you know? I don't understand. And you know what? He can explain it. He's got the heart for that. And there's people in here that have that heart. There's people in this heart, in this body, that have the heart to just love on people. All you volunteers for VBS, y'all have a bigger heart than I do, because I love kids, but I spend a lot of time with them at my house. So I'll be back at the soundboard and doing that for VBS. But you know what? You have a heart. You have the opportunity. You have what God has put in you, but we got to use it. We got to take it and walk out these doors with it, and we've got... Why did I get off on that? But it's the truth. It is so true that God just wants to work here. And I want to tell you, you know, that journey that Jack and I were on, we were part of a group that at 9:30 we went in one of the classrooms back there and we prayed. We prayed the whole time that Sunday school was going on. We were praying for the service. We were praying for the worship. And it was a powerful time in my life, because I was in this growth. I was learning who God was. I was learning he was working in me. But I was accepting it. And during that time, it broke into something else that we were doing praise and worship at night, and we'd get together and fellowship. Oh my gosh, kind of sounds like the early church, spending time together. You know, it was powerful. I mean, we saw things happen. We saw God working. And it was where God was showing me the power of prayer. And I know some of you go, well, I pray and I'm not hearing from God. You know what? God hears you. He just might not be answering right now. There's been many times in my life, and my wife will testify to this, that I was like, well, why am I not hearing from God? And she's like, just calm down. And it has been a time that I came out of, and I started hearing from him, but it was something that he was working on with me. He was trying to get me to listen to him. And you know, it's probably the hardest time in my life when I don't hear from him. There were times, that I was going to play a video by Francis Chan, and it was talking about that he got his muffin and his coffee, and he lays it out on the beach, and he's like, okay, God, what's your plan for my life? And he said God took him to task and said, do you know that there's people out there that'll never see this? But where that goes was where I was. I felt like I had to go to a certain place to hear God's voice. And you know what? I would go back to those places going, okay, I had this experience. I heard God. This is what I'm supposed to do and everything. And you know what? God wasn't there. He was there. He just wasn't talking at that time. He wasn't talking to me at that time, but I was seeking him and he knew it. He was growing me to seek him more. Not to turn from him, but to seek him more in those things. And he was working on something that's totally imperfect. And he was breaking me, man. And he can do it too. He's done it. He broke me this morning when I was sitting here praying. He just showed me some things, and I was just like, oh. And that's exactly what it sounded like in my head. He was, oh my gosh, he was just being an amazing guy. But if you're not hearing from him, take heart. He's hearing you. Just keep coming to him. He wants you to know that he's there. All right. I've been talking long. I've been talking hard. Guys, the takeaway from this is we live in a busy, busy world. But God wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to hear from you. Don't give up. Listen to him. All right. Can I get the ushers to come up? I could probably go for another hour or two, but we're in Northern Virginia. We're busy. Let me pray for the offering. Lord God, Lord, I just come to you and thank you for this day, Lord. I just ask that you're just going to bless us. Bless this offering, Lord. Your provision is amazing. I've seen it happen. You're just there. And Lord, I just bless the offering, and we just bring this to you in true humbleness, Lord, because we know who you are. Lord, we love you and thank you, Lord. I pray these prayers in Jesus' name.